Let's take our Bibles for our devotional thought before prayer time, turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. The book of Genesis, chapter 32. We're reading verses 24 through 32. Genesis, chapter 32, verses 24 through 32. The challenge for this evening, from wrestling to clinging. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. In this particular portion of Scripture, specifically Genesis chapter 27 all the way through chapter 32, we see the story of what we would call a dysfunctional family. It relates the story of Isaac, Rebecca, and their twin sons, Jacob and Esau. You recall that Rebecca devised a scheme to take advantage of Isaac's blindness and failing health. Yes, we can see that Isaac preferred Esau. Rebecca certainly preferred Jacob, and the scheming that took place. It's a story of sibling preference and scheming that carried on into the generations. You remember she persuaded Jacob to disguise himself as Esau so that Isaac might think that it was Esau. Well, when Esau discovered that Jacob had received his rightful blessing, he was bitter and angry. We know the story. Jacob flees to his uncle Laban's house, and God gives him the same kind of medicine that he's been dishing out all of his life. Deception. You recall the story. Well, by the time Jacob flees out of his uncle's home, he has four wives and a busload of children later. You have Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, Bilhah. And Jacob knows that Esau is still gunning for him. So he's probably having some chest pains as he prepares to meet his brother Esau. And he braces for the worst, and he divides his people into two camps. And finally, he settles his family a time away, and he spends time alone. And that's where we are today. We're going to be concentrating on verses 24 through 32. We're going to see five key things that bring Jacob to the place where he can have victory over the sins of the past. Jacob was a supplanter. He was a schemer. He was a manipulator. He learned it well from parents, and it went on in his life. And of course, he himself was deceived by Laban. And we know the story of Rachel and Leah and all of that. Our passage today gives us the first principle that I want us to look at. And that is this. The Lord had to bring Jacob to the place where he was left alone and he could listen to God. When a person is running from God, they can't run away from themselves and they can't run away from God. And sometimes God has to bring a person to the crossroads where there's nowhere to run and they're left alone with the Lord. You'll notice verse 24, Jacob was left alone. He was always surrounded by a lot of noise, a lot of family. I mean, the guy had four wives. I guess he wouldn't have had much privacy there. He had a truckload of kids, but the Lord brought him to the place where he was left alone, where he could finally listen to God. Sometimes the Lord has to do that with us, where we're left at a place where all of our friends are gone, like the prodigal son. They all took off. After all, our money's gone. We can't buy their friendship anymore. Sometimes it can be being ostracized from family, loved ones. Circumstances can take place in our lives that will bring us to the place where we're left alone. Sometimes we might find ourselves in a pit or in a prison or in a reformatory or perhaps even in the military on the other side of the world. And the carnal crowd that we were seeking after surround us and we feel very lonely. But the point is, Jacob had to be left alone with God. But this is where being alone has a benefit. Because if you're familiar with Scripture, many a man of God has to be brought alone so that he can have his personal encounter with the Lord. Sometimes our own children, surrounded with our influence, have to be left alone in a university or even in a campus, and they develop their own authentic convictions. Moses was in the wilderness. Remember Exodus chapter 3? When he was called by God in a burning bush, and he had given up all hope of finding his way. And he thought that, well, God is through with me after I kill that Egyptian. I guess I'm just on the shelf for the rest of my life. But God had him alone. Elijah under the juniper tree in 1 Kings chapter 19 was alone, wishing that he were dead. How many times was King David found alone in a cave when he was fleeing from King Saul and his wrath? Sometimes God works that way with us as well. And you'll notice, not only did he have to be left alone, but he needed to be brought to the end of his own resources. That's the second principle, that God will not only place you in a place where you are left alone to confront yourself. Sometimes you're left alone in an apartment house and your sin has brought you to the place where you're by yourself in a ghetto apartment and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is where my sin has brought me. There are all kinds of ways and all kinds of stories that many of you are familiar with. Women that ran off to Hollywood to make it big find themselves in some old hotel having been abused by those that she thought were going to help her. Left alone. But then not only are we often left alone where God can get us from wrestling. And remember, wrestling is a picture of self-will and defiance. Clinging is the place where the Lord brings us to the place where we see our need. And God has to break that will. And he does it by bringing us not only alone for self-confrontation, but he brings us to the end of our resources. You'll notice in verse 24, it says he wrestled a man until the breaking of the day. Now, this man was actually a supernatural being, none other than a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verse 30, this so-called man of verse 24 Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. That means literally the face of God, referring to the individual that he encountered in verse 24. And it says, I have seen God face to face, and I'm still not dead. My life has been preserved. And here, even in the book of Hosea chapter 12, we see that that was the messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. Many a person has wrestled against God's will for their life. What does it take to break them being left alone and brought to the end of their resources? We, of course, have to be careful as prayer warriors and ministers and elders and elders' wives and leadership's wives and members of the local church. We have to be careful and very wise in the administration of God's resources, because we can often deter God's program of bringing people from wrestling to clinging. So we have to be very wise and knowledgeable in seeing what is it that God is doing in this person's life. Of course, our question is, what must God do with us to bring us to the end of our self-will, our rebellion? Well, surrender to the Lord is the only answer. And here we have Jacob wrestling till the breaking of the day. What a picture of self-will. The truth of the matter is, Jacob had wrestled all of his life. The guy went from one scheme to another scheme, and he always thought that he was able to manipulate his way around. Thirdly, we see not only did he have to be left alone, not only did he have to be brought to the end of his strength where he was whooped, but Jacob, his wrestling, had to turn to clinging. Verse 25 and 26 says this, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. You know, Jacob's attitude had to turn from resistance to reliance. He needed to depend it upon the Lord. There are times when the Lord has to break that self-will with reference to salvation. There are people that will insist that I can earn my own salvation. And the Lord has to bring them to the place where they realize that they cannot save themselves. There are others that their self-will has to be broken and to the place of full surrender. But he had to confess his sin. Notice it says in verse 25 that the angel touched the hollow of his thigh. Most anatomists will tell you that the hollow of the thigh is the strongest part of the human body. And that is exactly what God has to break. He has to break us at the strongest part of our self-will before he can use us and have his own way. Fourthly, Jacob had to confess his sin. When the Lord asked him what his name was, the Lord knew what his name was. But actually, when Jacob used his name Jacob, he was probably just kind of confessing his nature, because the name Jacob means supplanter. It means one who is a schemer, a cheat, a fraud. And he was actually confessing what he was when he gave his name. But the Lord changed his name to Israel. And here we have the origin of the term Israel, a prince that has power with God. Jacob, though, number five, had become a broken man. And oftentimes, the Lord has to do that to us. And it's a permanent breaking. It's a permanent reliance upon the Lord. Here, he had a significant halt or a limp upon him. It says here in verse 31, as he passed over Penuel, The sun rose upon him. He halted upon his thigh. It was almost a thorn in the flesh, like the Apostle Paul had in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which most people feel is his eyesight. But it was something to keep him relying upon the Lord. And sometimes the Lord has to impact us, even after our stage of rebellion, with a visible reminder of our sin to keep us close to the Lord. And here we have a similar situation here in verse 31. Of course, the question that we need to ask ourselves as we prepare to go to prayer is this. Number one, are we wrestling against the Lord in defiance in some area of our lives? Perhaps in the need to be saved. We're wrestling like Saul of Tarsus. The goads are being placed into us and we are rebelling against needing to be saved. Perhaps there's a stronghold of sin in our lives. You remember 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We ask ourselves about our prayer life. What about our prayer life? Have we been wrestling with the Lord in the will of the Lord? Are we fighting to change circumstances in our lives while the Lord would have us to learn to cling to Him? We need to commit ourselves towards responding to the Lord by faith in Him. Remember, wrestling is to fight for dominance. Clinging is to grasp the Lord in desperation. Jacob needed to turn from wrestling to clinging. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, as we look and examine our own hearts and lives, we can look back over the years in our Christian walk with You and seen that there were times when we were running from God. There were times when we were resistant to God. And Lord, we needed to learn to cling and not to wrestle. Lord, I pray for some that may hear this devotion that have been wrestling against the will of the Lord, perhaps in His call to full-time Christian service, or to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in areas. Perhaps some are putting a boyfriend or a girlfriend before the will of the Lord, and they've been wrestling against the conviction day and night. The Spirit of the Lord has been bringing conviction. There's been that wrestling. Lord, may there be that surrender. May there be that surrender in whatever area it may be. And Father, may we be totally dependent upon the Lord, clinging to Him. Bless us now, Lord, as we prepare to go to prayer. Thank You for the story of Jacob and how You began working in a life that had a lifetime development of character flaws. But Lord, it shows us that You're not through with us. He that has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So Lord, we thank You for those times that even we may experience that permanent halt in our lives if it's something that reminds us of our walk with You and the need to stay close. It's well worth it. So bless us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.